Hey, Jim, why don't you just, like, keep it in place so we can all watch it?
Basically, that was the only thing we had on DVD.
To rep. Did you pack that?
Detroit style. All right.
Go on.
Okay. First off, I'd like to thank everybody who showed up to watch our presentation of low-class scams, how to live for free. My name is Sodium. I'm a security consultant for a major internet commerce provider and a member of Mobsters.net. What you have just seen is a video produced at Mob Industries by a member by the name of DJ Oki. This video depicts a man calling tech support wanting a new mouse, a.k.a. something for free. Our presentation is based around this concept and strictly for educational use only. You should not try anything we mentioned in this talk. Everyday corporations give away products and services to the average person or small business. We have decided to teach you how to take advantage of these offers, as well as how to take advantage of phone or cable companies. And most importantly, how you as a customer can protect yourself from people out to get into your wallet with low-class scams. We will teach you in our presentation how to live for virtually free, if not cheap as hell. Anything we mentioned in this presentation is just a concept. Secondly, I would like to explain what our group is all about. We consist of a dozen or so members throughout the world. These members are leader in the underground scene as well as the above ground and have several years of experience. Our members run sites such as datapush.net, mobsters.net, tollfree.com, system7.org, and hack.co.za. Although several arrests in the past years have calmed us down, we remain an active family of individuals dedicated to the freedom of information and speech. Last but not least, I would like to introduce the founder of our group, Top Hat. He's going to talk about how to scam free money from unsuspecting people, college kids, large groups, and stinky old people.
All right. Hello and welcome to Low Class Scams, How to Live for Free. Hopefully you're able to glean the two most important words from the title, low and free. By low, I mean cheap, lame, stupid, and inane. These scams are not meant to be serious. We're presenting this to show you the depths people will go, not necessarily us, but the depths where other people go to get into your wallets. The second part of this title, free, is the best part. This part of the presentation is directed towards the poorest of the poor, the lowest of the low, and the sleaziest of the sleazy. Basically, these scams prey on drunken college kids, sleazy landlords, and smelly old people. The part I will be covering are the low-down, dirty, underhanded scams to pull on these people. The first thing you need to need on your way to living free is money, just someone else's money. Hopefully, you all have caught on by now that this presentation is intended to be humorous. Listen to what I have to say, laugh at us because we're drunk, and remember not to trust anyone who asks for you for money. Seriously, guys. Don't try this stuff, and just use this information to better yourselves.
You need to work on presentation.
Well, yeah, okay. Right. Am I getting a grade on this or something? Okay, now on to stuff. Firstly, these scams involve interactivity. Now, this presentation isn't a presentation on social engineering. Hopefully you guys have some basic idea of what that is, what that consists of. Just the main tip I could give you is details. If you want to social engineer someone, they're going to ask questions, and you got to be able to come up with answers right there on the spot. That's it. I think Dark Cube is giving a... Is that already happening, or when's that going?
Tonight.
Everyone go to the social engineering Hack This Bitch Detroit style.
Yeah, whatever that means.
All right. Now, first, a scam, you need to have a base of operations. You need to have a place for the cops to find you after they chase you out of the old folks' home. Now, I'm imagining that most of the people here are either kids who live with their parents or working professionals. Right? Okay, probably not.
We're working professionals that live with their parents.
Well, that too.
I live in an old folks' home.
And that's a scam altogether.
Now, this part right here, it's not exactly how to get a free place to live, but I'm telling you how to live places for cheap and how to live in places that won't ruin your credit. Okay, first of all, I'm going to talk about squatting. Hopefully, okay. Now, I'm not talking about the crappy shit where you break into some abandoned house or some abandoned building and you got to fight your way in. That shit's too low class for us. We're talking about breaking into hotels, bed and breakfasts and stuff like that. Pretty much, if you're out of town for the weekend, you're going cross country or something, and need a place to stay, you go to a cheap hotel, but you got to make sure that that's a large hotel, one that won't have every room filled, and you probably want to go, on a conference.
So like a Ramada?
A Ramada, say, during a hacker conference or something where you know that there are going to be a lot of people there. Follow the cleaning lady around with a roll of duct tape. She's going to go into a bunch of empty rooms and clean them up and leave them. Now, what you got to do is you got to run it. Now, most hotels have automatic locking doors. I'm sure everyone here who's in this hotel, their door is automatically locking. Now, what you got to do is you got to run and catch that door before it closes because that's going to lock on you. And you got to shut. And then you tape the inside of the lock, the part that slides into the door, you tape it. That's what they did at the Watergate scandal, if any of you guys are familiar with that. Hopefully someone is. All right. So then basically you tape the inside of the door shut so you could close it and it'll appear to be locked, but then you could come and go as you please. Now, if you just do this to one room, that's not a good call because the hotel doesn't know that you're in there. They already sent a cleaning lady there, so it's clean, so she won't be coming back for a couple of days or whatever. But they don't know that anyone's there, and they might go ahead and send some guests up there. So it's pretty wise to have to go around and do this. You want to get some on different levels. You want to get some maybe on the same floor because if someone comes, you're going to have to run.
Pretty much.
Okay, that's how to do it for free. Now, some of you guys are so broke and so sleazy that you can't do this all the time. You know, that you need a free place to live, but you need a place to live for like a month or two. You need it for a while. Now, this is where subletting comes in. This isn't exactly for free per se, but this is a good way not to ruin your credit. A lot of college campuses or a lot of places like that, they have houses that'll be rented on a lease for a year. Now, what happens is a lot of those kids are only in school for part of that time, like a co-op program, work study, they got a job, whatever. So they're only gonna be at their house for half the time for what they have at least for. The other time they're gonna go and try to find a sublet. Now a lot of these places, when they put up a sublet, it's basically the guy who's going out of town. He doesn't want to have to pay rent, for his place in town while he's out of town. So he's gonna put up flyers or whatever, and try to find someone to find his place. Now, I'd say probably about 60% or 70% of the time, this is not endorsed by the landlord. The way that this happens is that the person who's subletting just sends in a check. They don't have to sign a contract. They don't have to enter a lease. They don't have to do anything. It's not caught on paperwork. That's the way you do it. You find some people who you don't know, and you sublet from them. You, let's say you're on a monthly lease, so you gotta send in a check by the first of the month. I would say if you're planning to do this long term, have at least the first month's rent. Try to get a cheap place for like $200, $100, $150, whatever, right? Someplace in the ghetto. If you only want to do it for a month, you don't have to have that much rent. What you do is pretty much you just live in that guy's place. It's going to be furnished usually the time. It's going to be a nice place. You got a house. You don't have to worry about people breaking in, stealing your stuff.
And if you live with college kids, you can always drink their beer.
Yeah, and eat their food.
Yeah.
All right. The way that this works is that since you haven't entered a contract, they can't chase you down. Well, they can, but you won't be. You're not legally binded to pay that. If you don't pay it, you're just going to fuck over the guy royally who you're subletting from. I'm not endorsing this. This is all, you know, in theory or whatever. I've never done this many times. But...
I've never done this many times?
Off the record, no. But, yeah. So, is there any questions? I'm trying to make this an open panel discussions because...
If you guys got any questions for us, just feel free to stop us.
Interrupt us or make fun of us or do something.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we don't have to talk. All right. That's how you get a base of operations. Now, I'm going to go into the really low, cheesy, humorous stuff, talk about how to get free money. First, I'm going to start off with the most illegal one, cashing other people's checks. All right. Basically, it's so easy. You guys have no idea how easy this is. First, I say the hardest part of this is getting
a fake ID.
Is getting an ID. If you go to www.mobsters.net, we have some really outdated links to fake ID pages, and they probably won't work. But if you wanted to go there, you might be able to find one or two, but probably not. Pretty much what you do is if you live in an apartment complex or if you don't have people who are living in hotels where they have a mail pool, you go in there and you can go through people's mailboxes. Another really good place is the old folks' home because those guys are receiving Social Security checks all the time. You go there and you act like you're trying to visit them or something, and you just pick up the checks. Now what you need to do is that check is going to come in an envelope addressed to them, obviously. And you take that out, and you're going to use that envelope as a proof of identification. And then you're also going to need a picture ID with that person's name on it, which is where the fake ID part comes in. Yes?
I find another way to steal from the elderly is to invite a kindly elderly woman into your house, let her die, and then collect the Medicare.
Word.
Good call.
But no one's tried that.
Now, all you have to do to get these checks is you have to endorse it as their name and go to one of those, check, cash, pay,
pawn shops.
Whatever it is. Yeah, pawn shops will work. Post offices sometimes do it. You want to go to the sleaziest place, a place that's probably around the corner in this neighborhood right now. You walk up to them. And now these places, they're going to take probably about 30 to 40% of your check, but they're going to give it to you in cash. You don't care. It's not your money. If they check's for $200, if you take whatever you can get, right?
Most of these places don't even have cameras or anything, too. I mean, they're pretty much liquor stores on the right, pawn shops on the left, check cashing and all that stuff. So it's pretty easy to do, or I've heard it is.
All right. You want to do the free gas now, or should I say that for later?
I'll do that now.
All right.
Go. Hit it.
Oh, shit.
That's the point. Okay, next I'm going to talk about getting free gas. Okay, I used to work in a gas station, I'll be honest with you, back when I was like 16, okay?
Last week.
And I had a lot of people who used to just drive off or whatever, but I thought that was kind of lame because we have cameras and stuff and they did prosecute and it was, pretty shitty. What I found was a memo dated a couple weeks ago, that basically like, what you can do is the Ohio IDs, they have the... What is it
it's
like?
It's a magnetic strip.
Magnetic strip on the back.
Does anyone out here, do their state driver's license have magnetic strips? A lot of college campuses, does Michigan have it? Just pretty much anything with a magnetic strip on it.
And most gas stations like Speedway, Super America, Shell, they'll have the Easy Pay outside with the credit cards.
Credit cards on.
What you do is you drive up, okay, and you take out your credit, not your credit card, of course, but you take out like
if I want to attain
someone else's driver's license,
something that can't be traced back to you.
Okay, you put it in the reader. Okay, and basically what you do is it'll basically authorize your pump. Now what you do is usually with a credit card, you swipe it real fast. This time you're going to put it in there and leave it in there. And what it'll do, I guess it creates a magnetic connection or something between it. It's a really big bug that hardly anybody knows about.
The pump is reading the magnetic strip as a credit card. When you slide through, it authorizes it. But whenever you just put it in there and you leave it in there, it goes through. And the key is you have to leave it in there. You can't take it out.
And basically when a gas station attendant, here's what you're paying with a credit card. They're like, I don't have to deal with that asshole down there. Yeah, out there, Basically, they're all like, cool, I'll go, clean in the back or something like that. What you do is, after you pump your gas and everything, you either rip the card out and take off. What that'll do is actually, change it from credit to cash because it didn't go through. Or also what you can do is just leave the card in there and drive away. All through Ohio, there's been many, many gas stations. Basically, I think they're pretty much lazy and don't want to upgrade their systems, or you know, they just don't give a fuck. But you know, there's a lot of people who have pulled it off.
Did you ever chase anybody who drove off?
Yeah, but that's not. I got almost ran over, but that's not something I like to talk about. But I mean, it's a really easy scam to pull over. I mean, how many people in here, other than like the IT professionals and the feds in the back, have had like. Yeah, you know it. How many people have like been broke as hell and need gas money, quick gas money? You know?
Hands up.
Yeah, hands up.
We got two, three,
I mean,
four.
Come on. It's a good scam to pull out when you don't have the cash on you. So that's all I like to say about getting free gas.
All right. This is my favorite one right here. It's not really that classy, but it works. It's good if you need to make some quick pocket money, right?
Yeah, it's my favorite too.
How many people are here, are in maybe, you know, high school or college? Let's see hands. About half? All right. How many of you guys go out to parties? Two. Okay. You know, okay. Well, this is the drunk scam. This is my favorite scam to pull because it's so easy, right? I call it the eager to get drunk scam. Now, a lot of college parties, and I guess high school parties too, but I never went to parties in high school.
He was in an all-boys school.
Shut up. All right. All right. A lot of these parties, if you go to a cake party, it's going to be full of maybe, you know, 100 or so people. The people who throw the party drop $200 or so on the kegs, and they want to make some money back. What they're going to do is they're either going to charge people at the door to get in or charge for cups, and they're going to be handing out cups. What's that?
They charge for cups.
Yeah, they charge for cups.
They don't
charge
at the door. Someplace.
Someplace. Yeah. Yeah. What you do is you just peruse the neighborhood on a Saturday night, walk up to a party, and they'll be charging cups or charging at the door. And if they charge cups, they'll probably be at the door or out in front of the keg. What you do is you get your own cups. Or you stand, and if they're charging at the door, you stand on the sidewalk. If people come by, you just say, hey, man, you know, you want to get in, you got to pass, you know.
$5 a cup,
you
gotta pay, or
something. You know, $5 a game, it costs $2 a cup. You know, we dropped lots of money on the beer. The bad thing about this scam is that people are going to find out really quick that they got scammed, and they're drunk, and most times they're going to be violent. Theoretically, I've run into problems where people are trying to bust a bottle over my head and chase them out of places. So just a good key is that in this regards to all scams, as soon as you get the money, leave. Don't stick around. If you go to a party and they're giving free beer away and you think, oh, cool, I don't have to pay for beer, but I can sit down here and scam some kids. So, you know, you're scamming kids, you got all their money, and then I think, oh, cool, free beer, I'm going to stay here and drink. You got to run. If you got their money, don't stick around there, all right?
Tell them about Rubicon last year.
We did what?
We were broke last year, and NFL threw this big party and had
this
free beer.
This is proven to work. Just shut up.
Yeah, they'd probably be here still.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like those guys. Oops. Yeah, did I leave anything out? Okay, another really good scam is, most scams have the same foundation, you know? You're selling them something fake, you're selling them an idea, you're doing something, and then just, a scam is a scam, but how you pull it off is what makes one scam different from the other. A lot of people have probably heard of the phone card scam. It's where, you just walk around selling fake phone cards. Now, I'm guessing that most of the people here can't really afford to go and have something printed on a hard piece of plastic. What's that?
One of those phone cards going to work in the gas thing? It's gotta
no.
Be next, right?
It hasn't been proven to work.
Oh, okay.
I've never found, I mean, I saw the press, well, not the press release, the internal memo, and it said
it's
Ohio
online.
Driver's
you guys,
license.
It's mobsters.net if you want to check it out.
Yeah. But,
all right, but anyways, you know, if you a really good way to make money is to sell fake phone cards, you know, because you can sell those for like 15, 20 bucks, 30 bucks a pop, depending on what number you put on it, 20, 15, 100 minutes, whatever the fuck. All right? But I'm guessing a lot of people here can't print on plastic, and I don't know of anyone who's going to buy a phone card that's printed on a piece of paper. So this scam, and this is probably the best scam, is a raffle ticket scam. Because, yeah, you know this. All right.
A lot of people know about this, but a lot of people aren't informed about it. It's just a
pretty much with this scam, the things that they need to make this scam work is you need to come off as professional, as authentic as hell. So if you make like an ID badge for yourself, you make up some, if you pick a, you want to pick a community that's not your own. What's that?
No, you're going about it the wrong way.
How's that?
You get kids.
Well, yeah, you get kids.
You get 4 or 5
more people to narc on you.
Yeah.
And you get kids, man.
You take all their money.
You're gonna sell these raffle tickets, and I'm gonna buy your baseball team uniforms.
But then you gotta buy
all that stuff, man.
Man, you're a scumbag.
Yeah, but see, with that, you gotta buy the team uniforms, and that's money out of your pocket that you scam. You want to keep it all.
You drive them out. They go out, they sell the raffle tickets, they bring you the money, and you can slap them a little bit later.
I don't have any kids.
I'm not going to pick a kid up in my car. I'm not Dark Cube.
All right. You want to have a clipboard, you know, with some stuff to make it seem like thing. You want to have an ID badge. You print out, you know, on some heavy matte paper. You don't want to use, you know, inkjet paper or whatever. Huh? Okay,
you
go
could do
buy
that
too. Get Staples.
But they're not going to have your charity logo on it or anything, too.
You do want to customize these to make them seem as authentic as hell. Sell these for like $1 a pop or $5 for 6 tickets or something like that. Now, the beauty of this scam is that you can make as much money as you're willing to walk, you know, if you're lazy and you only want to walk a few streets, you're probably only going to make maybe like, you know,
$5.
$20 or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you got a car or whatever and you got a whole weekend to do this, you could pull in a couple $100 if you're really good about it. Now, the beauty of this is that if they never hear back from you, they just assume that they didn't win the raffle. If you want to be really authentic about it, you could set up like a voicemail box and a call in. You could say, oh, you know, we've found that, you know, Joe Schmo has won this or whatever. And they're calling back, oh, I didn't win, whatever, you know, it's for a good cause or whatever.
That's good call is my beer money.
That's a good way to make money.
Some businesses like Walmart, if you go to management, they'll let you put like, you know, your voter registration booth or your sign by petition booth.
Yeah. If you stand in front of grocery stores and shit. Yeah, you could stand next to the girls selling Girl Scout cookies and then sell your stuff. You could steal
Dark Cube.
Yeah.
Follow Dark Cube around.
You want to do the lottery ticket or you want to go into the cable service?
I'll go into the cable service.
Okay, well now that you got money and you can afford 1 month's rent at the sublet place, but that's all the money you got. You only got $100 or so, and so now you need to pimp out this place. You need free phone service, you need cable, you need internet access, and he's going to go into that.
How many people in here have a type of broadband access, like cable modem? Yeah, most of the people in here. How much you pay for it?
$40.
I don't want to ask you because you steal it. How much you guys pay for it? $40, $50.
And how much was installation?
Well, okay, it costs like $150 for installation for SDSL, and it costs like $50 a month. And I mean, cable modem is just as good for me because all I do is download porn all day. It's fast enough. So what I'm going to teach you in here is how to get free phone service, free cable service, and free cable internet access. Now, first off, most of the people in here know about phone service, how it works, you know, the POTS system. But, you know, you guys that don't know it, basically phone service, in a nutshell, runs on like 2 pairs. The red and green pair and the black and yellow pair. Okay? What you're going to do is, you ever see those green trees on the side of the road? Like, perfect example. The other part of that. Okay, what you do is your line is basically on there. That's like if you crack that thing open. I'm not going to tell you how, but you guys know it.
716s.
But anyway, so like you crack that open, you find your pair. This can be done with like an ANI number, or you know a voicemail box that records your like.
Yeah, let me put my ANI on my ass.
Well, basically,
or just have someone in your house talking on your line.
Talking on your line.
Whatever you clip in.
Leave it off the hook
if you live
exactly.
by yourself.
What you're going to do is you're going to find in the green tree your red and green pair, okay? And 90% of the time right under it is your black and yellow pair or on the other side of it. Okay, what you're going to do is find your neighbor's phone. You got a redneck right by you who likes to beat his wife and like watch monster truck racing? Just wire his phone up to your red and blacks or your black and yellows, okay? What you do is you go to your house and you get on the, it's like a customer interface box, on the side of your house. Make sure that the...
or in your basement, depending on where you live.
Yeah, something like that. Make sure the black and yellows are hooked up to your line. Go into your house, use your beige box or whatever, see if it works. You can also set up like an outlet in your house to basically be the other person's line.
Use it at night,
yeah,
and at odd hours when they won't be on the phone. Because
I wouldn't make any long distance
calls. You start talking, you know, and interrupt their conversation.
They're gonna get pissed and come over and beat you,
like they do their wife.
Yeah. That's about it for that. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. A lot of people in here have a beige box. I'm not gonna say who or just, but I mean, a lot of people have beige box in here. A lot of people have set up lines. It's no big deal. But also,
there are a million ways to get free phone service. That's the easiest, simplest, most basic way. If you guys really want to learn how to do this, you know, you can do it with cellular, and you can set up switches and bridges, and you can set up multiple lines, and you could have, you know, seven lines running to your house if you need that, if you run, like, a business or something.
Yeah, I mean, if you have, like, fatty, you know,
yeah, really.
A raffle ticket business or...
Tarot card readings.
another scam is that. I mean, tarot card readings.
It's not your baby's daddy.
Yeah.
Never mind.
There's two ways I know of getting free cable. One is the I work for whatever apartments. We promote your service and we have an agreement with your company. We get free cable TV. 50% of the time this works because, like, I used to live in a rich neighborhood where basically, like, their leasing consultants or whatever promoted, like, Time Warner Cable. So basically they were like, you know, we get free cable service. Or your apartment's already hooked up for Time Warner
the
Cable.
The employees
they were
of that apartment complex
promote it.
Yeah.
So they
will
free
get free
service
in exchange for promoting it to all the tenants who live there.
Now, the reason this doesn't work sometimes is, like, what if they actually call the apartment complex and say, does, like, Joe Schmo work there? You know, they're going to be like, no, you know. A good way to find out if an apartment complex in your area is actually, like, giving away free cable service for their employees is to go fill out an application. I mean, you don't have to put your real name or anything on it, but, like, ask them their benefits. You know, say, you know, I used to work at whatever apartment complex, and we had free cable service from whatever company. And most of the time you'll find out if they pretty much have the free cable service available. This is kind of risky because you're probably going to have to put your real name on the invoice, which isn't cool.
Or just set up a P.O. box under a fake ID.
Yeah, that can work too. Another way I know how is if you live in an apartment complex or a condo or something like that, basically your cable company is going to take a line and run it off the pole or whatever, and it's going to come down to your house into a box. And the boxes are going to have pairs, kind of like a green tree on the side of the road. You're going to see an in pair and an out pair. And most of the time it's either going to be marked with a tag that says your apartment number or marked with this tag, basically a red tag saying they didn't pay. What you're going to do is take a patch cable a coax patch cable and run it from the in to the out and get free cable service. Now, while you're in there, you know, they're going to be looking at your cable, your box, and being like, man, only one person stole this. Let's go to his house and, like, you know, jack his cable and shit. What you're going to do is, like, hook up your entire apartment complex with free cable. This has been proven to work, not by me, but by Top Hat.
Oh, shit.
Basically, this works. I mean, I'll be totally honest with you, you're only going to get basic service. Now, if HBO and Cinemax and whatever is your thing, you like watching porno at 3 a.m., basically go on like cablescramblers.com, get you a real descrambler, you know, something that is modified or whatever.
Of course, how many people out here have satellite or direct?
DSS.
If you guys, there are ways to do that. I'm sure you guys probably heard about it, with the smart card cards and stuff like that. We won't go into that now, but if you have that kind of cable access and you want to learn about how to get channels for free,
contact
like that,
us later, definitely.
Yeah,
because we know some.
We go into a little bit about that.
We'll go into that about you, about it. But
hold up,
we'll jack it from.
I can't hear you.
I can't
sorry.
Hear you.
The DSS to
It depends on who your provider is, but I mean, yeah, it did go up a whole lot because, you know, it became so easy, you know, to go ahead and buy free channels with this. You know, if you go to like a store and you could buy the card that has a program just put that chip in, it became so easy that they didn't institute a price.
Basically, now you can go to like HH Gregg or anything like that and get a $99 DSS unit. okay? It's going to have a smart card in it. You're going to have to dial, you know, have the thing dial up and get all the programmed information on it. Basically, now what they're doing is they're using a, I'm not really totally, you know, elite at it, what I'm saying. I'm just showing you the basics of it. They use basically, like, the smart card syncs up to the unit, so you can only use the same smart card in that unit is what they're doing now, because I have a couple of them. I've tried it. I mean, it's basically, like, really shitty. I don't know. There's ways to get around that. If you want to contact us a little bit later, we'll tell you how, but it's, like, too sensitive for us to talk about in a conversation in front of everybody.
Just keep talking.
Okay. Basically, what I'm going to tell you about next, also, with the free cable service, sometime when you have, like, a shitty cable company, okay, they're not even going to put a box there, okay? I mean, use your brain. They're going to have splitters there. Split your own line off of it, splice it in, and you're going to get free cable service. Do you have a question? Okay, cool.
Aw.
Look, I might work for one of those cable companies. I don't know.
You might.
Like, we go there, like, we hit, like, MDUs, and, like, you never look to see, like, everybody's got the green tags.
Exactly.
I don't remember to put green tags on. Like, you know, nobody really gives a shit. You just, like, plug into the tap.
Exactly, but where I live, they're really, really, I mean, cable fraud is a big thing
do
in my
area.
People
look up to you at your job? Are you, like, the standard employee? Like, yeah, you know.
High-class employee.
Yeah, really.
I mean.
Employee of the month.
I'm sure there are employees, no offense, that slack off and don't do it, you know. But the policy of the company is to actually put a tag on it.
Yeah, sometimes
they
ask me, like, for a tag
number.
But
yeah, I mean...
It asks
you? They're promoting you. He wants to see where everyone else is more of a slacker.
I mean, there's, you know, just little tricks in everything you do. There's going to be, like, different ways to do it, you know. We're not telling you a set way to do it. Last, I'm going to talk about hooking yourself up with free cable internet access. You can go on eBay and get a cable modem or a cable router. Go on eBay, get a cable router, get some legit cable. Basically, when you do, like, Roadrunner, okay, a big cable provider, cable internet service provider, they're going to have you run, like, if you get it legitly, they're going to have you run a client that basically logs on and off, okay? Have you ever sat there and sniffed, like, your Ethernet connection between the modem and your computer? It's doing almost absolutely dick. It's just a big interface. Dick. Okay? I do admit, in some areas, I've heard that it actually does PPP over Ethernet or some gay shit like that. If that's the fact, go over to the old lady who only uses her cable access when she's downloading, like, cookbooks and shit, and, like, go, like, social engineer her username and password. It's no big deal. But what I've dealt with, what I know somebody that dealt with, is basically the ones that basically everything is open. Now, this guy might be able to, like, clarify this for me. Certain types of cable companies, if they're, you know, have a little bit more money, they'll put an actual filter up on the pole to filter out cable internet access from...
The reason we do that, the return filters,
yeah.
It's just because, like, a lot of people's houses are just, like, big antennas and they plug back into our system.
Yeah.
But they're just little filters, like, this big. And they don't give a shit if you take them off, except for, like, you'll just spike their system.
That's cool. I was
do it all the time, but I don't check for address.
He's like the most slacking employee of a cable service. What kind?
The problem with my cable company, though, is that you know, they use the MAC ID of your modem to verify your service. Like, there's absolutely no login.
Yeah.
Plug into the cable. I know. I work. Yeah. That's me. Yeah. I don't know.
He works at a. Okay. Basically, you're saying the MAC address that's assigned to the modem.
Right. So, like, if I plug in, like, a router or a cable modem, I have to, like, call in with the MAC ID.
Yeah.
Okay, because I used to have dual cable modem access uncapped, or I knew someone who did. And, like, it was, like, insanely fast. And basically, I hooked, like, two modems that I got, cable modems, with, like, MAC addresses this company has never heard of before. It was a major, major cable company and internet provider. And it worked, like, you know, not nobody's business. What?
Like butter.
Like butter.
Like butter.
Since I've been shot down by the slacking employee over there in my topic, I'm going to pass... No, that's cool. I'm going to pass it over to... We got, like...
What the fuck we got to talk about?
Hey, come on.
You listen,
do you guys have scams? Do you guys have questions? You guys, like, it's open panel discussion now. So, okay. Okay.
I'm tired of paying for sex.
Yeah.
Talk to Rob, he gives it away.
Okay. Here's my scam for that. In Cincinnati, Ohio.
We did have a scam for this.
There is a street called Vine Street. It's the most ghetto street. This basically is nothing compared to it. People get shot there every hour. You get a crack whore. You say you're going to give her a crack rock or whatever. Now, usually when you're soliciting a prostitute...
Cut his mic off.
When you're soliciting a prostitute, they want the money up front, right? But not crack whores. Because basically the guys that give the crack whores the rock up front are basically going to get screwed. Basically what you do is, like, when she wants her rock, you just... Yeah, yeah, I got a point. Get it to me. When she wants her money, bitch slap her and throw her out the window. That's my point.
Yeah. What's that, man?
This dude had a question.
All right. No, I got a scam
thing. Oh,
okay,
right,
cool.
On.
I've been in restaurants for like 15 years. And all you have to do is...
Well, I just want
to
interject. Don't scam the cafe downstairs. They will track you down.
They traced us to our room.
Shut up.
Oops.
All you have to do...
No, I didn't.
...to get all the free food you ever want... Well, first you have to wear, you know, fairly decent clothes and be wide awake and be really nice. You go in.
Are you talking about fast food or sit down restaurants? Because I'm sure everyone here knows a fast food scam.
It's different for
does anyone here wait, say what? I'm sorry.
It's different for sit down.
All right.
Sit okay. down. You just walk away after you eat your meal.
Yeah, we tried that.
You leave your cigarette in the ashtray. And you get up to go to the bathroom.
It's better when you leave a tip, but don't pay the bill, because then she's not as likely to chase after you.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Does anyone here not know the fast food scam, like, is hands?
The pennies in the dime roll?
The what?
The pennies in the dime roll!
Yeah, that's a phone loser's thing.
You buy your food, you eat it. This was horrible. This is the worst food I've ever had. I want my money back.
And you bring some staples.
That's so weak.
You're like, I found a staple in this.
You don't need to do any of that.
There's a syringe in my hamburger.
Okay.
I want my money back. The manager doesn't care. It's not his money. If you just want your money back and you're polite to him.
If you just go through a drive-thru and say, hey, you know.
You just walk into McDonald's and pick up receipts.
Exactly.
Like somebody's walking out, hey, can I have your receipt?
You don't even...
McDonald's doesn't even give you a receipt half the time. What I did... My secretary, like...
Yeah, if you walk up and say that you're the, you know, like, you're some big, you know, hotshot's assistant, you know, who works downtown at the high-rise, and you come back there, and you start screaming at them over the intercom, they're going to give you whatever the hell you want. Because they don't have enough time at the drive-thru, if you go through at 1 o'clock, to sit there and haggle with some guy who's screaming at them. It's not worth their time. It's some 16-year-old punk who doesn't give a fuck if he gives away a free 20-piece nugget or not. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The material I saw on eBay called Teslin, and it comes in an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. And it's the credit card size template that will knock out the piece of paper.
Yeah.
You can be through an inkjet or a laser jet printer.
It's paper or is it plastic?
It's plastic that you can print on.
Yeah, no. Okay.
And that coupled with...
You have to have a special printer to be able to...
No, they've got Teslin that is either inkjet or laser.
Yeah, but okay.
But if it slides through, if you got an inkjet printer, it's going to slide through like that. And if you got plastic, it's going to be some really flimsy plastic to be able to slide through like this. No, I'm not familiar with Michigan IDs. Wait, so what? I can't hear you.
Anybody want to know Reverend George's docs?
I had this one a long time ago.
So then you get what's called a butterfly pouch,
plus his old haircut,
which is a laminated pouch. You have them with and without mag stripes.
Yeah, actually, there's a if you want to have an official looking ID, pretty much you're going to need to have a hologram on there. It doesn't necessarily I guess I'm going to this, you know, just for the hell of it because we got time. The rule of thumb is with fake IDs is that you want to always use an out of state ID, and you always want to do at least 3 states away, so that way the bouncer, the bartender, whoever won't be familiar with it.
Unless you're cashing a check on it.
Yeah,
because many places will only accept that state's ID. Now, if you live in, like, a place that's like a tri-state, and you live in like say Indiana, and you scam an Ohioan. Basically, that's what we're saying, because it's like
that would work.
The people in the gas stations that are going to sell you alcohol when you're 21 or whatever, when you're not 21 and you have a fake ID, they're going to look at it and be like, Hawaii, wow, you know, where are you from, blah, 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 blah. They're not going to even pay attention to your ID.
You're from Canada.
You're from Canada, you know.
Get out.
Well, we're
yeah,
not.
But, you know, 90% of the people here probably aren't. Yeah, the reason for a fake ID are innumerable, you know, for everything we just mentioned, plus a gazillion more. You know, you always want to have a fake ID. Well, no, you don't.
Unless you get arrested.
Fake identity, not a fake ID.
Well, like, you can always go, like, the route of, I don't know, in theory, you know, you get someone's social security number, which, you know, isn't, you know, whatever. So you get their social security card and a birth certificate, yeah. And you just, like, I don't know, you could go to, like, Chicago or someplace around here. And, like, you just go to, like, an office door, and they have apartment leases for that subletting you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah, oh, it's not.
Write down, whatever, you know, like, I live here. And so then you tear off the yellow copy, because that's your proof of residency. And then you take the stuff that you got in the mail, you know, like the social security card and the driver's birth certificate, and you just, like, go there and have them print you out one. And give them, like, $7.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's not hard to get someone's doctor.
Chicago,
I'm sure.
Do, I do the same day there.
The what?
Yeah, like, same in Chicago, Illinois, they just, like, print it out.
Yeah, I'm sure. In some states, the dead baby method still works. Is anyone familiar with that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. There's actually a thing that's coming out where you can apply it. This law is meant for wives whose husbands have been beating them and they're trying to escape them or whatever, and they won't get a new identity. But you can apply, probably, yeah, it's like 90% guys here. But you can apply for a new social security number legally, and it's free. This law is aimed at women who have been abused, but of course, you know, it would be discrimination if they wouldn't offer it to men. So if you guys, for some reason, could come up with that.
So if Rob's beating me, I can leave him and get a new social security number so he can't find
basically.
You just got to beat him more so he won't leave.
Yeah. It's, I mean, Tom, he can, like, give a new identity.
Tom?
This one.
Dropping ducks. yeah.
Only thing.
That's good times when you're, like, 15, 16, you say, hey, I went to go for my first job.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you go to a big city and you go down and like a big city where immigration is a big thing, like illegal aliens. If you go down south or to either coast, you could walk down the street and people will go like this, and that is like the international sign for, hey, I got an identity. You want to buy it? And you can buy an identity for $50, birth certificate, social, and it comes with ID, it comes with everything.
Seriously, it's been proven like in New York City, like Manhattan and Queens, you can get it like that.
Yeah.
Well, like, I'm getting a contract from the state's office. Like,
As
long as you have, like, one part of the state.
Yeah.
Like, if you have, like, a birth certificate, you will get social
security. Yeah, yeah. He raises a good point. A lot of people, when they think of fake ID, they automatically think of a driver's license. That is harder to get than a state ID card. A state ID card, it carries the same weight, the same value as a driver's license, but it doesn't take as much to get. If you have a birth certificate and a social, you can get a state ID. You can say if you want a driver's license, it depends on the state and depends on their policy, but you're going to need the original birth certificate and you're going to need, you know, the original social security card and you're going to need all kinds of crap. You're going to need signatures and all kinds. It's not worth your hassle, really.
Yeah. This guy over here.
If you want to run the really risky way, you can go to, like, get up to, like, area, hang out your window, like make a triangle.
That means you're gay?
Don't have gang sizes.
He's like,
hands out, then you can't quick grab the wheel and take off. And
that's too dangerous.
Yeah, we don't like to get them.
Yes. If you go on a website, it tells how to make holograms by hand. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. When I first started out talking about this, there are two ways, well, actually there are a bunch of ways to fake holograms. A lot of people cannot get a hold of an official state hologram. It's probably illegal to do it. I'm not real sure. I never tried.
I got a website that you can get the Jersey one.
But is it going to be like exactly? I mean, okay. It'll be a template.
But if you go up to someone, you know, wherever, and if they twist your card and they see it shiny, they're going to think it's authentic. Now, what you can do is there are paints to do it with. I don't know how many people here are artists or good with their handcraft skills. That isn't the it is a way to go because that you can duplicate, you know, the seal much more closely with that way. But if you go online to Nick Law Enforcement Supplies, www.nic.org.com.net.something, you can buy a laminate that will have an hologram on there. It's some cheesy, you know, like official, like an eagle or like official or something like that. But if you do that and it's iron-on laminates, if someone takes that and twists it, you know, and they see it shining, they're going to think it's real because people don't realize how easy it is to fake a hologram. Yeah, it's exactly for company identification.
So and so cable company, give me your name and password.
Well, what is the hologram?
Yeah, you want to talk about? No, he probably don't.
What is the hologram on the machine?
It's like a hologram. It's black light sensitive.
Yeah. A lot of IDs are getting really, really hard to. A lot of IDs are getting really hard to fake. They're. I think Kentucky and Indiana and the old school, Michigan, the ones don't have holograms. A lot of they're not printed on plastic. They're still laminates. Like if you go to New York, that shit is virtually impossible to duplicate. You got a texture. What's that?
Well, as far as the Michigan ID is concerned, there's this shiny gold stuff along the back, and it shows a little picture of Michigan and it says Michigan. And that shit will scan on a cheap scanner,
Yeah, but see, whenever, if they turn it, it won't reflect.
Sure, the UV stuff, because a lot of ours do check that.
Oh, that
thing
works like
UV.
Yeah.
Like, if you make a fake ID, you know, it's not going to be able to pass off, you know, at a real place who's checking it. You know, if they have a real place... If you go, you know, to a state office or if you try to go out of country, they will be able to spot a fake ID. I'm talking about for kids who want to get liquor or for kids who want to get into a nightclub.
I got a serious point here. This is totally serious. When you get busted for writing graffiti, don't give the cops your fake ID.
Good point.
What's that? Yeah, or if you got a friend who works at a BMV, you know.
But watch out because...
Have them swipe that shit.
Watch out because, I mean, if you bribe somebody, I mean, they could turn you in right there if they're legit. If you know somebody that works there, don't go around bribing people that work at the DMV or you're going to get arrested, you know. But
what's that?
Yeah.
A lot of people, yes, but but a lot of people are going to say, you know, can you take that out of your wallet? And then you either say no and walk off and then just be done with it.
Yeah. I'm like 21, so it doesn't really matter. But 9 times out of 10, if I just throw it down before I even, like, say anything.
What?
If I just throw it on the ID, like on the counter, and I just, like, throw it down and I'm like, I need that fifth or whatever. They'll just, like, glance at the ID. And just, like,
yeah, I mean.
They also don't want to peel it off the counter.
Yeah.
Well, the paint's still wet.
It's all about, you know, how you go about doing it. Like, it's social.
It's social engineering.
Yeah,
at
its finest.
Validate your fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Punch out your fake. We'll spend so much.
If you got like a good supplemental fake ID is if you get a library card, you know, that has the same name. If you get, you know, whatever kind of card. If you get a state ID with the same name. If you get, you know, whatever kind of card you guys have, a student ID. Those things are so easy to fake.
I like the one, I work at Shell or whatever, and, you know, this is, you know, a valid ID because it has this hologram here. You know, I know because I've had that experience in the job you're in.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a driver's license for someone to take it as identification. Yeah. Yeah, and run out with them. Yeah.
But some poor kid's got to do a book report on it, and you done jacked it.
Most libraries just have like little magnetic things on the back page.
See, my library doesn't have that. at all. Yeah. We have no security systems in it.
Yeah. It's not hard to steal from a library. I wouldn't recommend it because, you know, it's a library. Yeah.
Does anybody know anything about those theft deterrent, you know, like you walk through and they beep?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there, like, easy ways to defeat them?
Yes, the easiest way. Okay, I'm assuming that a lot of people here, you know, are probably under or over 4 feet tall. Those scanners come up to your shoulders or whatever. I've seen people just take stuff and toss it over and catch it. They put it in their hat, you know.
Go scratch the back of your head. You'll get through it every time.
It only rings if it goes through those things.
Yeah.
You can walk by and pass it to another person who goes around. It's so easy to get past those things.
I've actually seen stores that have, like, a section off about this big, and then
the place
on the
you have to watch
side,
out where they line the entire frame of the door when you go out.
I don't want to demagnetize it.
Yeah, yeah, it's another way too.
So yeah, I just wondered like how they work, like, you know.
Demagnetize. I'm not.
Maybe this guy could explain it right here.
Boo.
Boo. That's how they work now.
Yo, back there. Oh, I'm sorry.
What? The security techs that you talked about, there are three ways to get around it. I used to work at Circuit City, and they used it. If you fold them in half, then it
breaks the circuit.
This is a funny story. I used to work at Walgreens. I used to work at Walgreens, and we had old ladies in and out of there all the time getting their whatever medicine. I used to take the stickers and put them on their asses. And when they walked out...
We used to walk around, like, dropping people's bags.
Yeah.
If you are going to do something like that, a good thing to do is take them on the Sensomatic stickers
and
put them
on the
shoe.
Oh,
yeah,
put them on the floor.
Because the Sensomatic system generates such a large number of false positives. The employees hate the system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it goes off every time you go out the door and the employees know that. Well, when you do it for the sixth time with something, you know, you really want, they don't care. They're just like, oh, it always goes off.
It also works. Another good thing is if you have, like, some kind of electronic, like a cell phone or a watch or, you know, I've actually gone through things where they go off with my sunglasses, you know, and they're like, oh, well, whatever, you know, just get out of my store.
You told
him it was your sunglasses? No, it happened. One time it was my sunglasses. I bought some cheap sunglasses, and it was made out of, like, you know, uranium or some kind of crap. And it, like, set it off.
That explained a lot.
Woo!
Huh? If you bring a receipt with you on your way
out,
they
won't. Well, yeah. Some places will actually, like, put your bags down or whatever, have you walk through it a couple times. I mean, I've had to not ditch stuff, but, you know. Yeah.
Just
spend
the money and buy it.
Yeah, for real.
Shoplifting is not worth it. It's so much easier to scam money off people than to take the risk of shoplifting. It really, really is.
This guy right here.
Another easy way to get through this is
on
like that.
He just said that. Yeah.
It goes off because of how many keys they have. In general, I don't know why. But you could just have a big set of keys in your pocket. And that's probably why.
How many times have you gone into one of these stores and seen the thing they use to dispense them? Just sitting on a table?
Oh, yeah.
So you put them all up in your coat.
And you put them on old ladies' asses.
And then you walk out with one of your friends. Your friend keeps walking and you stop and you're like, you know what? And then you walk through and you put it off, so they're not going to follow your friend because it seems like you're the one setting it off.
Another good thing to do.
Don't look like your buddy is the guy.
Another good thing to do. Okay. The employees working at these places are stupid. They don't know how the technology works or anything. If you take one of those stickers and stick it on the unit itself, these things hardly ever peel off. They're a pain in the ass to peel off, and the employee will like get pissed off and probably turn the thing off. While he's turning the thing off, you jack like stereos, anything, you know? Theoretically.
I've got a pretty good scam to get money.
Yeah,
let's What's that, Boy George?
Well, what you do is you learn a useful trade, and then you find a job doing that.
That sucks. And it takes too long.
To do stuff, a job that and work. They don't know that you're scamming them, but as long as you do a good job at what you're doing, you can continue scamming them for years.
Okay, I got a comment for that. Let me ask you a question. Would you like to get paid to sit on your ass and maybe every other day go out and like sell some raffle tickets?
I kind of like my job, actually.
Or if I get to sit in a room with air conditioning while it's 100 degrees outside, play on a really nice network that I'm in charge of.
How about you sit in your free apartment on your free internet, you know, and you don't got jack to do, and just sit there and look at porn all day.
Good for a couple months.
This is meant for lazy people, man. If you want to go to work, go for it, man. I'm all about working, you know, because then you got money that I can get from
another thing.
Tickets for sale?
We can make some real fast. Okay, we got like 6 minutes. Another thing I'd like to talk about, I forgot to totally mention this. Okay, 15, you're left.
We could be like, find you.
Okay, what I'd like to talk about too, workman's comp.
Oh, yes.
That's free money. Okay, somebody I know, like scammed workman, well not scammed, they were really hurt, got $650 for 2 weeks worth of work of sitting on his ass, and then got paid twice by the company because they didn't want to piss him off. Okay, what you do is you work like 1 or 2 days, you go into like a Walmart or something, work there, and you complain about like, the work's pretty shitty anyway, like unloading trucks, say your back got hurt. Go to like an urgent care, or I don't know if you guys have those here, or like a cheap doctor, okay? Workman's comp's going to pay for it anyway. One that'll give you as much painkillers as you want, and like not do anything to you. You go to the doctor like every day for like 3 days, complain it's hurting. When they threaten to do surgery, that's when you back off and say, oh, it's cool. And that process of time, you've been off for like 4 weeks. Now, where I live, the state I live in, Kentucky. Yeah.
Don't tell them that.
Okay.
Kentucky.
The law is, if you hurt yourself and are off work for a week, you get paid for like 3 days. If you hurt yourself for more than 2 weeks, you get paid for those 2 weeks and every day after. If they fire you, for, you know, basically you've worked there a day and you've got workman's comp, they're going to fire you. Basically, like, if they fire you, then you can take them to court and sue their
assets. The fear of a lawsuit is one of the things that scares a company the most.
Exactly.
It is worth their time to pay you a week's salary.
Or two.
Rather than having to do court costs and lower costs and go there and possibly lose and have to pay a settlement. It is worth their time to do that. It's cheaper for them.
Exactly.
Unemployment pays out $300 a week.
But you can only have
it. Is a, well, okay.
Welfare is
a
free
great
money.
Way. Like, don't
talk
quote
about
me
welfare.
On this. Don't quote me on this. I'm sure it depends from state to state. But it's like if you are a non-dependent, if you are an independent and not dependent on your parents or whoever, and you make less than like. Does anyone know the number? It's like, it's so low. It's like, if you make less than like $20,000, you know, a year or something like that, then you could apply for welfare. And that works for college students as well. But you have to claim independence, which a lot of people don't do. Because, you got,
it's like six.
It's 6,000?
Yeah, but like, since you're making all that money under the table for the tickets.
Okay,
but
here's
yeah,
what you
but,
do.
You know, if you make money that way, you don't have. I haven't paid income taxes because I haven't had a real job in forever, you know? I mean.
But you live in a fat apartment, got thousands of dollars.
Hey, no, I don't.
Free sex from crack whores.
Exactly. Free cable, free internet access, free television. Another thing is good,
college
food stamps. Food stamps is a shit. In Michigan, I get paid like $60 a month for food stamps. But like almost anybody can get them. Yeah, almost anybody can get food stamps. And, like, it saves you a ton of money at the grocery store because I don't mind paying with food stamps. And crackers take food stamps. That's the greatest thing in the world.
Any questions or comments? What's that?
Crackers, how do you skim with free treatment?
Yeah.
Workman's comp. Especially if you work at Waffle House or that diner downstairs.
Oh.
They're cute.
She's right there, man.
Oh, shit. Oh, no, she ain't.
Anything else?
Well, how much time do we have left?
Oh, Doyle rules!
What about free computer equipment while we're on the...
Free computer equipment? Trash picking. That's what it's all about.
Yep. You dumpster diving.
Dumpster diving.
Who was that guy last night who talked my ear off for an hour talking? Remember that dude? You guys? He's like, yeah, you know, you go to the grip.
He's like sitting there for like 2 hours. There. You can get 15 spark, ultra spark, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, God, shut the hell up. I'm trying to enjoy it. You know?
Yeah.
Here's what you do. You find a rich neighborhood. A really, not here. Dublin, Ohio is a great place to go trash picking. I pulled so much. I had like a car full, like an Oldsmobile full of like computer monitors, like TVs, VCRs. You go to the pawn shop after that if you don't want the equipment. Pawn shops are so stupid. You can talk a 486 up so bad. You can be like, that's 486 megahertz, you know. It's got a Voodoo 3.
Does anyone know the state on whether it's legal or not to go dumpster diving in Michigan?
Once it...
Because it's trespassing? Because, okay, apartment complexes are the best place to get stuff. I used to work in apartment complexes, you know? And you got people who got an apartment and now they're moving and they don't want to carry, you know, their old-ass TV or their old broke-ass computer or their stereo. So they just leave it there. Now the landlord, they don't want to have it because, you know, it's one more thing for them to take care of. So they throw all this stuff in the dumpster. If you go to apartment complexes, you know, like maybe the 30th or the 31st of the month is right before someone moves out, is right before their lease ends, you could find all kinds of stuff in there.
You can usually find food there, too.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, you can find,
if the food stamps don't work.
Tissues, like banana peels and like all kinds of stuff.
Just watch out for raccoons.
Another way to get like free hardware, like I've known this to work, but it requires a lot of effort. If you like set up a recycling business for computer equipment, yeah.
He's like, I run
like that guy does back there.
They will pay you. Isn't that the same kind? Oh, never mind.
Fuck you. They will pay you to take their shit.
Are you serious?
Yes. Like, there's a place where
it's true. It's worthy.
You have to have like some type of like. You have to like register a couple things with like your TBA or whatever. Like, you can pull it off. It was done even at 344. He got fucking paid to take computer equipment.
That's cool.
Was like find dumpsters and throw away the worthless shit.
Yeah, but it's also like PS2's microchannel.
But like,
you know?
Fucking computers.
Not to mention, you're gonna
you get to that to a pawn shop and talk it up to be a whole lot.
They
people,
don't like that either.
The people who own pawn shops, they don't know this shit, you know.
You can like cut it all off.
Pawn shops are your friend. Believe me.
Exactly. I talked to a guy. Okay, I had a VGA monitor. Okay. Then I had like a black and white TV this big. I got $20 out of it.
Woo!
It's good for me. That's a case of natty.
What's that?
This guy.
Easy way to scam. Go to the Salvation Army places. Those little things that are open. You set your shit in there.
Like Goodwill?
That's like clothes, man. You know?
It's like, I've dropped off like old computer screens.
If you pull up before they open, there's just a bunch of garbage bags of good clothes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Bell bottoms and everything?
Just go to convention.
Oh, George.
Go to, like, wait until they're not looking and... Oh, never mind.
The trick here is...
We did that at Fruit
Nick. You just stay here until everyone else leaves. Everyone leaves all this crap behind. Like, I have so many power cables.
I got gum wrappers and everything.
Now, if you go into a rich neighborhood, though, sometimes they do spend the Salvation Army, like, obscenely... Nice things.
Yeah. This guy right here.
If you go to Best Buy and buy whatever you want, like a new hard drive or
trash
something,
can.
Open it, take out the hard drive, put it in a book.
Right there.
Exactly.
Or
your...
They've been catching on. If you don't have the shrink wrap, but like, as long as you have like the same model and like it doesn't look dirty...
I've actually known somebody that's taken like an 80-gig drive, put 100 meg... IDE drive back in it, shrink wrapped it back up just like new, and brought it back. Oh yeah, you have to have the shrink wrap.
And the installation manuals. If you have the manuals and the shrink wrap, you can return shit to a store and get a refund. Yeah.
What best?
I won't go into that.
Yeah.
I won't go.
What's our sponsors?
What's up?
Tin cans.
So,
and hood ornaments.
And then go to the pawn shop, right?
Yeah. I always like the
salient. I'm not down with breaking and entering.
I also like the salient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too low for my look.
I like the saying, that's a nice hood ornament. It looked better around my neck.
Cut him off. Cut him off.
Exactly.
Oh, that works like a...
Yo.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. That works so well.
I thought I had the perfect scam in it, and it didn't work. My monitor, my CRT Blue, is a 19-inch... piece of shit Korean monitor.
I'm Korean.
Blue.
I'm Korean too.
It sucked. So my mother, being the little saint that she is,
you live with her mother?
She gets social security checks.
she bought me a monitor for Christmas.
Cool.
So I took the back off of the monitor and I swapped the backs between the two monitors.
Were they both a 19-inch?
Yeah, they were both. The screws even fit.
Were they the same kind of monitor, like on the front?
No, they were pretty close.
Yeah,
that's cool.
But I took it to Best Buy, and
they're like, get this crap out of here.
Which is where my mother bought the monitor, put it back into the same box and the whole stuff, and they were actually able to. There's like a little barcode that I didn't get off the bottom of the monitor. And they were actually able, with that, to figure out that I had the wrong fucking monitor. They pulled it out.
Threw it on the ground and started kicking it.
You went to the one on
Alpine.
The one on Alpine?
Yeah.
Man, those people are
they
suckers.
They got a database, man.
Those people are suckers.
They got a database.
The only one I've had problems with.
Yeah, so if you're gonna try that scam, make sure that you swap
the video one
every
time.
Sticker.
And make sure you clean your shit well, too.
Huh?
Like, if that shit's stuck, don't even
which
try it.
Which brings us to the U.S. Robotics Supports the modem scam.
Oh,
Yeah.
Yeah, the tin cans.
You go to some broke-ass con in a state south of here and acquire some, like, USR 14-4 external modem, right? And the case form factor for those things has been the same for years.
Yeah.
As long as you have the original box and the packaging that comes in, it's free money.
$56K, open the cases, swap the internals, return the $56K with 14-4 internals, and then you have a modem that says 14-4 on it. It's like $56K.
Cool. We got a guy over here.
I got a mic. Nice. If you live in a college town or pretty close to one, most of the universities have things called property dispositions.
Yeah.
These are great because they sell off all their old and obsolete hardware, and that's your source for all the shit you're going to put back in your shrink wrap. Hard drives?
Yeah.
Free hard drives, especially when they start throwing out the old machines, are cheap. They're like $5 a piece at Dispo for University of Michigan. Cheap monitors, which actually still work. Those are nice.
What about the stuff that looked in the black loading dock?
That too. That's a little different.
Kind of fell off a truck.
But also, after a while, if it doesn't sell out of dispositions, they'll just throw it out. And gotten some nice rack cases out of that especially.
Or people that, places that refurbish monitors and computer equipment, throw away a lot of used stuff. Like, I got a 17-inch monitor that had, like, a little nick in the screen for, like, free because I got it out of the trash. It worked and everything.
Okay. Just
things to think about. I sold it at the pawn shop.
Anything else?
$20.
Okay, that's
okay.
It.
See the video again?
You want to see the video
again? You guys
want to
see the video again?
You know, we should warn you about pawn shops.
Why?
It's like a lot of the ones in Grand Rapids are fucking run by
cops. They're run by cops.
Yes.
Are you serious?
They fucking run bigger prison.
Yeah, okay. If you go to like a place like a pawn shop or a checking place, where they, you know, if they want all that shit, that's not the place you want to be.
Yeah.
You can find a place where they have food stamps, all that shit, you know, like flashing lights, you know, liquor, food stamps, all that shit. That's the place you want to go. You don't want to go to a place where they fingerprint you, where they have cameras, where they do all that shit.
You want to go to the ghetto.
You want to go to the ghetto.
Can you brighten it a little bit?
It's warming up.
Cool. Okay, cool.
What did this have to do with our speech?
No. He was complaining about his mouse.
Oh.
Okay, if you hear, you guys hear in this video the guy complaining about the mouse, I kind of relates to it. You can call tech support and bitch and bitch and bitch. They have to give you something for free or hang up on you. Exactly. I knew somebody that worked for Bell South Internet Services. You complain, say your service is dying, you can't connect or whatever, they'll give you like either 3 months worth of internet access or refund your money.
Or you just get like DSL for a big net, then it's a good.
You know,
that's cool.
If you really like, you can do AOL and
no.
Paper from AOL.
No. Okay, here's our video.
That's too low for us.
It's a lot of work, too.
Well, if you have any follow-up questions, just
we'll be around the con
all the scams that we talked about today are online at mobsters.net. And if you want to talk about any stuff that we didn't really go into,
DSS.
Like the DSS or you know any kind of shit like that, just email us. Go to the website. Just check it out.
What's happening
next? That's about halfway through the movie.
And now for something serious.
Turn the volume on, dude.
Rewind it. Dead Beginnings All Black. Hold up. Okay, let's go.
Louder.
The Professional. It came out like 96.
Yes.
Sir, I do need to warn you that...
Okay, we're mobsters.net. Thanks for listening to us. Room 360.